Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. Yes, it is the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show. We don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And it has been a week. Yes, there's big news all over the world, big happenings, terrible things. We've got a drive-by shooting in Jerusalem where I do not believe there are any Crips or any Bloods. No, just the Philistines and the Israelites. We've got a couple more cops killed in Palm Springs, another attempted suicide by cop. We've got the horror in Aleppo, just horrible. A humanitarian tragedy in the making. Germany's biggest bank, Deutsche Bank, teetering on the brink of collapse. And here in America, our most high-profile politicians have steered our national political conversation into adolescent dirty talk on one side and credible accusations of sexual harassment and rape on the other. And here we are. And you know what bothers me? You've got so-called conservatives, the Trumpeteers out there, are engaging in the publication of all the filthiest comments made by Democrats over the years. So you can't open a newspaper or check a news site with any kids in eyeshot for fear that they might see words that they shouldn't see until after they join the Navy, for crying out loud. It's just disgusting. Well, I predicted that it would be Trump's stripper wife that would finally take down his opportunity to be the president. And I don't think this necessarily takes down his opportunity. Takes him down a notch. But the country has become so coarse and so vulgar that we probably deserve a President Trump. And if we're any worse than I think, well, then we deserve a President Hillary. Ugh. Just the thought of it is depressing. So should we just move into the news? I guess so. Just get right into it. Let's start in the world of sports. Yes, sports. You know what big sports fans we are here at the Weekly Worldview. We'll start with the Bleacher Report from the Justice File. The Denver Broncos quarterback, Aqib Talib, well, he said he got shot. Do you all remember this? He said he got shot in Dallas. And it turns out the Dallas police now say that, well, he claims he was shot in the leg back in June, but our investigation has determined that Aqib Talib accidentally shot himself, is what happened. Uh-huh. Yes, the police say that there has been, quote, a search for clarity regarding the circumstances surrounding the shooting. We used to call that an investigation, just shorthand. It used to just be an investigation. Now it's a search for clarity because, well, I guess Aqib Talib is one of those great Muslim American sports figures that Barry was telling us about that forged the soul of the nation. Yes, the same Aqib Talib who stuck his thumb in the eye of that Indianapolis Colts. I believe it was their tight end, as a matter of fact. The old thumb in the eye. Well, anyway, Aqib Talib. Did I mention he plays for the hated Denver Broncos? Yes, and turns out he's a liar. And he claims now that he says, I was too intoxicated to remember what happened. So he just didn't remember shooting himself because he was too hammered. And he naturally assumed that someone else had shot him. Anyway, carrying a weapon without a license into a place that sells alcohol in Texas, which is where this all occurred, is a class 3 felony. And apparently the police allege that Talib shot himself at a nightclub or just outside of a nightclub. He was so drunk, the police can't really tell. But he apparently shot himself. So another of America's great Muslim American sports figures goes into the ash heap of history as a disgrace, along with the hated Denver Broncos, who, by the way, from what I understand, have a very big game today. I heard all week that they were playing a team from Atlanta. I believe they're called the Falcons, and it's a big game. It's an important game to the Broncos season. It's important. Big, big game. Yeah. So we did not huddle around the TV here at the McBurney compound to watch the hated Denver Broncos and the lying, deceitful Muslim sports figure, Aqib Talib. I don't even know what the score is, and the game is over, which I think that's a class 3 misdemeanor in Colorado. To go more than three quarters of a Denver Broncos game without knowing the score, you could definitely get written up. But we don't care about that. Now, let's go to the science file. And for that, we go to Japan. The Nobel Peace Prize. Why do I always think of... The Nobel Prize for Medicine has been awarded to a biologist, a Japanese biologist named Yoshinori Osumi. And he was awarded the Nobel Prize for Medicine for, let's see, the Washington Post says that he discovered and elucidated a key mechanism in our body's defense system that involves degrading and recycling parts of cells, known as autophagy. Yeah, that's what he did. He conducted a series of experiments in the 1990s involving baker's yeast that have helped explain how a cell adapts to stresses such as starvation and infection. Osumi identified 15 genes essential for autophagy, and these identical mechanisms that he identified in the yeast, the baker's yeast, these exact mechanisms exist in human cells. How about that? I guess the neo-Darwinists would suggest that perhaps we all evolved from yeast, since we share, maybe, maybe not. Well, they might. So, let's see, mutations, apparently, let's get back to the science here. Mutations in autophagy genes can cause disease. Uh-huh, yeah, but it was not designed that way. Autophagy is a process of cell renewal that removes damaged proteins and organelles, but when the process fails, it can speed up cell aging and cause diseases associated with aging. And too much autophagy can promote the growth of a tumor, tumor cells, and cancer. And so congratulations go out to Yoshinori Osumi for his discovery of the genes behind autophagy. And just when you thought that the Japanese civilization was about to collapse into irrelevance, well, here they come, right, with the 2016 Nobel Prize in Medicine. Very impressive. Good work. But when we stay, I have another story from Japan, and this is from the Collapse of Western Civilization file. And I know technically Japan is not considered a part of Western civilization, but at least since the end of World War II, it has been. And, well, things are, well, Sky News is reporting that a robot has been unveiled by Toyota that is designed to provide companionship for lonely people. Uh-huh. It's called the Kirobo Mini, and they say it may have a role as a baby substitute in Japan. Where, listen to this. Listen to how Sky News reports this. They say falling birth rates have left many women childless. Well, it's not the falling birth rates that have left women childless. It's the fact that the women aren't having any babies. That's causing the falling birth rate. Falling birth rates have left many women childless. As if they had no control. Well, the birth rate fell. We wanted to have a baby, but the birth rate fell. Anyway. The robot will cost about $350. It's 4 inches tall. It speaks in a high-pitched baby voice. $350 cash. I wonder what the price of an abortion is in Japan. It's probably similar, somewhere in the neighborhood of $350. Or does the government pay for it over there?
I think I heard it's over $1,000.
It's over $1,000, so this is a bargain. So, anyway, the collapse of Western civilization probably starts. Japan is probably the first domino to collapse. Everything seems to be on hyperspeed drive in Japan. You know, since from the 1940s to the 1980s, they became an economic powerhouse, and even a culturally significant nation in the panoply of Western civilization. And just as fast, from the 80s now to the teens, well, they're falling through the floor and collapsing. And it's sad to watch. We'll have to go visit sometime before it's before things before everybody's old, right? Just be old people. Yeah, old people with their robots. That's what it'll be in Japan. A sad state of affairs, indeed. But I've got another story here from The Independent. Another British newspaper. What do I get all my information from? Well, the first story. The Nobel Prize story was from The Washington Post. So there are still some newspapers in America that I consult from time to time. But we go to The Independent, where a report has gone to press from the Science Really file, reporting that some of the world's richest and most powerful people are convinced that we're living in a computer simulation. Now, we reported on this already, that many of the tech gurus and giants out in Silicon Valley think that we're living in a computer simulation. But now, these tech billionaires are funding scientists in an effort to try to break us out of the matrix. Yes, they're funding scientists who are chuckling as they take their large checks, which are not generated in the matrix. In fact, that money spends just fine. And these scientists are happy to help Elon Musk and others. Yes, sir, you want a program to break us out of the matrix? I'll get on that right away. In fact, I'll be the project manager, and I'll hire my entire crew, and we can try to solve this problem. But time is short, Mr. Musk. We'll have to work fast. There'll probably be overtime. So, anyway, he writes a check, and they are working on that. Yes, The Independent says many in Silicon Valley have become obsessed with the simulation hypothesis. Interesting. Now, these are people who write computer programs, and you would think that they would know better. Some of these people are millionaires and billionaires, and you would assume that they're smart. But they're obsessed with this idea that we may be living in a computer simulation. And I think it's because, well, they don't believe in God. It's just that simple. They don't believe in God, and they're looking for some way to make sense of life and the universe and everything. And they figure, well, I never want to admit I'm wrong and say I'm sorry to God for anything I ever did. So maybe it's a computer simulation being run by an advanced civilization from the past. Maybe from the future. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is what happens to great minds when they operate without a knowledge of the Creator, and they deny what is obvious, that that this is all real. This is real. And if you doubt or want to debate the fact that this is all real, well, I really don't have time for you, because you should be writing material for Bill Clinton and Donald Trump, the whole adolescent thing. I mean, please, you're going to tell me that you actually buy into or give any credence whatsoever to the idea that maybe all this isn't real? I find that hard to take. And you would think that someone who's the CEO of a tech company or a millionaire or a billionaire or someone who actually hires other people, you would think that somehow they would lose any credibility. But apparently, well, you can't lose credibility anymore. I mean, look at the two people running for president. I got to take myself a permanent vacation. And it is the Weekly Review. So glad to have you here. As that was the Return from Drug Rehab album, I believe, from our good friends there from Boston. That was the first time back from rehab. Well, they went to rehab a number of times in the late 70s and early 80s, but that's when they came out and they were actually able to put a record together. And they, as far as I know, even the strung-out whack jobs in Aerosmith are not convinced that this is all a computer simulation.
I don't know that.
And, well, if, at least they would have an excuse. They blew their minds out with drugs in the 70s and 80s. I mean, they're not running a Tesla, for crying out loud. Is that Elon Musk? I can't remember what Elon Musk does anymore. SpaceX. Is that it? Anyways, he hires people, and he actually has the nerve to sit down in an interview and try to come across as credible. And when he's home at night, he thinks we're in a computer simulation, and he wants to colonize Mars. Okay. All right, and you want to hire me? You're interviewing me. You want to see my references, sir? Excuse me? All right. Now, speaking of whack jobs and crazy people, we go again to the science. Really? File. Where albawaba.com. Let me try that again. It's albawaba.com. That's the name, yes. This is an Iraqi news site. They are reporting that the transportation minister of Iraq, he claimed last weekend that Iraq was home to the world's first airports 7,000 years ago when Sumerians would launch spaceships that reached other planets. Yes, this is the, he's the transportation minister of the nation of Iraq. And, well, he's been watching Mario Antoinette, obviously, in the Ancient Aliens series. Which I didn't know they had a big audience in Iraq, but apparently, well, this guy's watching. He made some other claims, too, that were... He claims that the Sumerians discovered an 11th planet. Yes. At which point, nobody said, but wait, Mr. Taqib, or what's his name? His name is Kadem Finjan Al-Hamami. Nobody said, hey, Kadem, what about the 10th planet? What do you mean they discovered an 11th planet? I mean, I thought we were at the point where we were doubting Pluto was even a planet. Pluto may just be a trans-Neptunian object, not a genuine planet. But anyway, he claims that the Sumerians discovered an 11th planet, and, that the Sumerians themselves were actually angels. See, yes, I believe it was the farm team for the Anaheim Angels, if I'm not mistaken. That's the reference he was making. No doubt a big fan of Aqib Talib is one transportation minister, Kadem Finjan Al-Hamami. Mm-hmm. Yep, all right. So, there we have that. This is a leading politician in an actual nation. Now, I don't know what was going on 7,000 years ago. I don't know. It's possible that there was some sort of air transportation and electricity, I suppose. The cows got in our yard? Okay, folks, we've got to take a little break. And we are coming back. Yes, indeed. All right. Woo. And got the blood pumping now. That was quite the thrill. You know, I was speaking before we went on the air with my extremely attractive audio engineer about how nothing really interesting has been going on around here. And, well, that was interesting. So let me paint a picture for you. Our neighbor is running a 15 head of cattle on the lot next door and on the back 40 of our property. And somehow, four head broke through. Well, they didn't break through the fence. It was the fence that that our children left open because they went over to pet the cows earlier today. They neglected to close the fence, and so four head broke through, and there they were in the backyard. Now, our backyard's pretty big, so it's not like they were right up against the house, but there they were. And I think we're going to have to get a horse because wrangling cattle with a five-speed Toyota pickup truck is really hard on the clutch. Probably that clutch just got more work than it's had in the last 5 years. So we tried to lure the cows with a basket full of hay, but they were surrounded by hay, and they just kept eating. And we thought we could lure them, but we didn't, so we had to push them. So I strung out the three girls in front of the pickup truck, and we captured the cows between the fence and our three wranglers. And then the pickup truck, I bum-rushed them and honked at them, and eventually we got them back through the gate. And all is well and good in the world. And then at the end, they let us pet their noses, which is nice. And so there you have it. We're back. So that was a Rude Mood by Stevie Ray Vaughan. That's what I felt like in the pickup truck out there. It was fun. All right, so everything is back to normal. And now we go back to this, I suppose. If I'm even interested anymore, we go back to the science, really, file, where Climate Depot is reporting that President Obama, in a conversation with one Leonardo DiCaprio, basically said that the droughts in Syria, of course, caused by global climate change. There's already some really interesting work, not definitive, but powerful, showing that the droughts that happened in Syria contributed to the unrest and the Syrian civil war. It wasn't Barry in his red line that he did that he allowed Assad to cross. It wasn't Barry shipping weapons to Islamists in Syria to take out Assad. No, it was climate change is what it was. And later on in the conversation, your president and mine lamented the fact that we have members of Congress who are not paying attention to our Joint Chiefs of Staff and Pentagon, who are telling us that climate change is one of the most significant national security threats that we face. I'm finally getting a pretty good Barry impression, and he's about to go out of office. The guy's an empty suit. It took a long time to nail down an impersonation of Barack Obama because he's such a vacuous human being. It was difficult. And here in the waning days of his presidency, I finally get it together. But it'll be worth it for him to be gone. I don't even want to save that impersonation. I want to lose that impersonation as quickly as possible. Of course, I'll get to impersonate him when he's the unhigh commissioner on refugees over there at the UN. And we have some news from the UN. I don't know if we'll get to it. I don't know if we'll get to it after the wrangling incident. We lost a little bit of time there. Actually, due to the magic of modern technology, we really didn't lose much time at all. Imagine that. I'll bet you didn't think four head of cattle could be wrangled in 2.5 minutes with a pickup truck and three girls under the age of 16, but it was done. That's right. All right, now let's go into the politics file. Do we have time for this story? We do. I've got a report from Zero Hedge that the Obama administration has moved to dismiss charges against an arms dealer who Barry had accused of selling weapons destined for Libyan rebels. Yes, well, they're saying that perhaps the trial could have exposed Hillary Clinton's talks about arming anti-Qaddafi rebels. Oh, you mean that we were arming anti-Qaddafi rebels? Well, yes, we were. Those weapons are now in the hands of ISIS and other maniacs. And here was a guy, Mark Turi, who was accused of lying on an application and violating the rules for arming Islamists that the administration had set up, but probably didn't give Barry his cut, and Hillary didn't get her cut, and so he finds himself on the business end of an indictment for arms dealing outside of the general rules of arms dealing. But now the DOJ has filed a motion to drop the case against him. The deal averts a trial that threatened to cast additional scrutiny on Hillary Clinton's private emails. Her emails, they just said, the author of this article just said that it was about weapons going to anti-Qaddafi rebels. But he has to say, well, it's about her emails. So the emails were about weapons going to Islamists. All right. And also, the trial may have exposed reported Central Intelligence Agency attempts to arm rebels against Muammar Gaddafi, which we did, and that did not work out very well. The Zero Hedge report does make it clear that it is unclear if any of the weapons made it to Libya, and there's no evidence linking weapons provided by the U.S. government to, specifically to the Benghazi attacks. Let us just make this clear. At which point, anyone who is thinking would say, well, what about the other Islamists and all the weapons they have? Do you have any evidence that any of those weapons ever made it to any Islamists? Well, all we know is that it's unclear. That's the only thing we can be very clear about, is that it was a very unclear situation. So unclear that we've decided not to go to trial with a guy who is selling arms to the sworn enemies of everything that is good and right. The Islamic hordes in this case in Libya. But the case will not go on. And Hillary Clinton on Election Day, I believe Hillary Clinton, to my shock and dismay, on Election Day, Hillary has a better than 50% shot of actually being the Democrat nominee. So, to many shock and much dismay and much sadness and general discontent, well, that's where it is. And how do I know that? Is because Hillary Clinton is obviously indestructible. This past week, reports emerged, that I pulled down from Breitbart. The House Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte is upset. He's alleging that the FBI promised to destroy the laptops of Hillary's former chief of staff, Cheryl Mills, and Heather Samuelson, a staffer. And possibly they destroyed the computers of other lesbians, too, after they interviewed them for the alleged FBI investigation of Hillary Clinton's mishandling of national secrets and weapons and everything else and her complete and utter incompetence. But it just doesn't matter. After all, Hillary said it herself. What difference does it make at this point? You're unbelievable. You're so unbelievable. All right, that's it. We have to come back. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to let that fly here. Weekly Worldview. Yeah, right. We know she is. Right? Yes, so due to the unexpected interruption, we have to go short with our break. Get back to business here. Yes. If you think that I'm incorrect, that Hillary Clinton is indestructible, despite the fact that she could collapse at any moment and die, she would be reanimated. I believe she probably was reanimated already. She's probably on some mix of pharmaceuticals that would, well, it would kill all those four head of cattle. They would all die if they were to ingest what it takes to get Hillary out of bed in the morning. But she's indestructible. In fact, the New York Post reports, and this comes to us via the politics file here at the Weekly Worldview, FBI agents say that FBI Director James Comey has permanently damaged the Bureau's reputation with its cowardly whitewash, is what they call it, a cowardly whitewash of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's mishandling of classified information. Hey, there we go. Look, they actually reported the actual issue. They do mention that she used an unauthorized private email server, but they actually say that it's her mishandling of classified information. That's encouraging. And this is the New York Post, which is a tabloid, not even considered a real newspaper, from what I understand. except maybe on Coney Island or Staten Island. Maybe they think they take the New York Post seriously. Well, anyway, the headline at the Post screamed out, FBI agents are ready to revolt over the Clinton probe from James Comey, the whitewash. Well, Comey, of course, the head of the FBI, has argued that the case was investigated by career FBI agents, and he says, quote, so if I blew it, they blew it too. James Comey says, about FBI agents, active agents. But agents say that Comey tied investigators' hands by agreeing to unheard-of demands by the lawyers for Clinton and all the lesbians around her who were all trying to get away with covering up. No, not their lesbianism. They don't care. They don't care if the whole world knows that. They were covering up the pay-for-play at the Clinton Foundation and the fact that Hillary Clinton was basically selling access to a lesbian who could become the next president of the United States and was the sitting Secretary of State and was in a position to do favors for people, I might add. The article here at the Post cites two FBI agents who are, well, they say they're ready to revolt, but let's see, one of them is retired agent Dennis Hughes, and the other is retired agent Michael Biasello. So it's kind of hard for them to revolt since they're already collecting their retirement pay. And see, this is the trouble. I want to tell all you young kids out there, if you're thinking about working in the bureaucracy, in the government, this is the problem. You over time, you become so dependent upon the government for your weekly cheese that you're too afraid to do what's right because you could lose your job and you could lose your pension. And so you end up becoming a part of a corrupt machine. I watched a movie I think it was last night, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I watched a movie last night, the first movie I've watched in a week. And before that, I hadn't watched a movie in 10 years. So I watched Patton a couple of weeks ago. And then last night, I watched Judgment at Nuremberg. Judgment at Nuremberg, which I highly recommend. It's about 3 hours, black and white, all kinds of big Hollywood stars. It's from 1961, I think it was released. And it's about the trial of the judges, the apparatchiks, who instituted the Holocaust and other atrocities, forced sterilizations, torture, all kinds of horrible things that went on in the Nazi regime. Judgment at Nuremberg is about the trial at Nuremberg of those judges. And this very issue comes up because one of the judges left Germany in 1935 when he realized the corruption of the administration. And he came to testify against the other judges. And their position was, well, we had to do it. We had to keep our, we were judges. All we do is administer the law. We don't make the law. Well, the judge who fled Germany in 1935 looked him right in the eye and he said, your pension was more important than what was right. And all of those judges, by the way, were convicted and none of them were executed, though. They were all sentenced to life in prison. So it's kind of a letdown at the end. But, it is what it is. So anyway, don't work for the government, for crying out loud. The government is more corrupt than any private business outside of the porn industry on the planet. So if you go to work for the government, you might as well be working for a Penthouse magazine. A worse bunch of people than occupy the executive offices. All right, let me just move on. Let's go. We'll go into the old-fashioned graft file. Yes, good old-fashioned graft. The Free Beacon is reporting that former Secretary of State Hillary sought to arrange Pentagon and State Department consulting contracts for her daughter's friend. And they say this has prompted ethics concerns, concerns about ethics violations. To which I say, why would it raise any concerns? You're concerned that Hillary may have violated ethics rules? For crying out loud, she let four people die at Benghazi. She traded American intelligence for cash money. I mean, she exchanged secret information on her server that could have gotten people killed. You're worried that she was trying to get jobs, contracts for her daughter's Some of the lesbians hanging out with her daughter. I don't know that her daughter's a lesbian. I should take that back. I think she just procreated, for crying out loud. In 2009, Hillary arranged meetings between Chelsea's friend, who happened to be the head of a defense consulting group. Well, Hillary connected her with Pentagon officials, and the discussions involved the awarding of contracts and whatnot. And Clinton tried to help Chelsea's friend win a contract. And this lady's a close friend of Hillary, close friend of Chelsea, I'm sorry, who, by the way, is the vice chair of the Clinton Foundation. So that obviously means she's in charge of keeping track of all the vice going on over at the Clinton Global Initiative and associated charities, doing good for the world and doing very well indeed. All right. Chelsea has described this particular person as her best friend. It's her best friend. Okay. And Mama's helping her get contracts. If that was the biggest problem Hillary Clinton had ever caused for our country, well, we could all deal with it, because that's just good old-fashioned graft, okay? We know what goes on. It's called nepotism. It's called, yeah. Anyway, but Hillary's got a lot more skeletons in the closet and bodies buried. She's got so many bodies buried everywhere that she trips across her lawn trying to get to her car. And meanwhile, domestic tranquility is in free fall here in America, here on the home front. We go to the domestic tranquility file. A Chicago police officer, this is from ABC News, Channel 7 in Chicago. A Chicago police officer is hospitalized now because she was severely beaten. She had responded with other police to a car crash on the west side of Chicago, which is supposed to be the nice side. A man was violent and under the influence of drugs, and one of the officers was severely beaten. And she told her supervisor that she was afraid for her life, but she was also afraid to use lethal force because of all of the attention on the police department's previous actions in fatal incidents. So her supervisor says, quote, she thought she was going to die. She knew that she should shoot this guy, but she chose not to because of the national news. It's the Ferguson effect. It's the Black Lives Matter effect. And it nearly got this young lady killed. And it has increased these incidents of suicide by cop, like what we just saw. We just saw an incident in Palm Springs, another attempted suicide by cop. And there's just brazen disrespect and disregard for police. And not just disregard and disrespect, but the violent attacks. There's a war against the police. And folks, when the police decide to just shut it all down, man, well, I mean, good luck on the east side, west side, north side, south side of Chicago. Good luck. Good luck just surviving, because things could get ugly very quickly. All right. I was talking to a police officer last week, a couple Sundays ago maybe, asking him about all this activity, all this hatred toward the police. And, I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to get into what he said, because it's just between me and him. But let me tell you that the police are getting fed up. They're getting fed up, okay? And they're afraid for their buddies. They're afraid for their partner. My friend, the police officer, he's not so much afraid for himself, because he's not afraid to use his gun. But for all you Occupy types, you millennials who are mad at your parents because they divorced and you felt like you felt horrible about it your whole life, and so you hate authority in general. For all you Black Lives Matter types, if what you want is no authority, then eventually that's what you're going to get. And we'll just see how long you like that. And the war continues. We go deeper into the domestic tranquility file. A police officer responded to a call about illegal street racing. Illegal street racing in Fresno. Hey, this sounds like a good old-fashioned story you could have read in the 1950s. High school kids with their hot rods out late at night, maybe doing some racing on a back street on the outside of town. But that's not what this is. This is circa 2016, and things are different. First of all, this was in the middle of the afternoon on September 25th in Fresno, broad daylight in front of God and everybody. And when this officer arrived, he was surrounded by a mob of angry punks. And they were chanting. Well, they were chanting some things I can't say, but other, they were chanting, "We run the streets. We run the streets." They yelled, they cursed, they kicked the vehicle as the cops sat inside in broad daylight in the middle of the afternoon. Now, the officer was able to drive away unharmed, but to me, this is shocking. I mean, do any of us remember what we did when we were out doing things that were maybe borderline illegal or illegal? Or let's say we were street racing. Some of us did things like that. As soon as you heard the siren off in the distance, you bolted and ran and hid. You tried to get away. But these punks hung right there and waited for the cops to get there, and then they surround him, and it's just unbelievable. The amount of hubris that is being allowed to fester in the young people who hate their parents, they hate God, they hate authority, and they hate the police. And until someone stands up and smacks these punks down in a very ugly way, they're just going to continue to get worse. There will be more incidents of suicide by cop. There will be more assassinations, more beatings. And the only way it stops is when the cops push back ugly. And when that happens, well, it's just things are going to get even uglier. It's sad. What do I have here? Another one from the Domestic Tranquility File. From Lauderdale Lakes, Florida, in the Miami area. A shooter opened fire in the parking lot of a Walmart. Yeah, Walmart. Yeah, there was a store was full of shoppers. And one of the shoppers says it was surprising, it was shocking. And another person at the scene said it's just very unfortunate. This is what our world is turning into. Well, what will it take? What will it take for our society, our political leadership, and our religious leadership? What will it take to cause these people to reevaluate the casting out of God from the public square? What will it take? Well, it's going to take something very ugly, unfortunately. Anyway, the man who was opened fire at the Walmart, he was shot and killed by the police. By the way, it's broad daylight in the middle of the afternoon at Walmart in America, circa 2016. Another suicide by cop. The man was shot. There was a victim killed at the Walmart. One innocent civilian was shot in the face. One victim killed. And then the obviously suicidal killer taken down by the police in what is increasingly a suburban war zone, which is basically what America is devolving into. In the 50 years since God was officially cast out of the public square, we have devolved from street racing late at night when kids ran away to war in the streets against the cops and against authority in general. God is merciful. God is good. Lord have mercy. I wish you would.
Am I blind?
is the Weekly Worldview. We are back. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on the weekly broadcast that, well, it does its best to keep me sane. That's it. I just got to get this out once a week. It's hard to take. I go now back to the New York Post for reason number 1082 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. For crying out loud, are you people insane? This is a story of a young man, a 10-year-old boy. He has learning disabilities and a speech impediment. And so his parents are foolish enough and brainwashed enough to feed him into the public school system. A 10-year-old with learning disabilities and a speech impediment fed into the lion's den of the government school and the beasts, the wild beasts they are raising there. So this kid, and now he has... Now, the kid's mother and his aunt says that some boys lured him to a shed and set him on fire. Now, police say they don't know that the boy was set on fire on purpose. They only know that this group of children who know each other through the government school that they all attend together, they were in a shed, they did start a fire, there was gasoline, and this young boy is now burned over 20% of his body, and last I checked, he was still in an induced coma, fighting for his life. One unidentified child has been charged with arson. Three boys were taken into custody, ages 9, 10, and 11. I've got a quote here from his aunt. His aunt says the other kids are saying that they said they were going to grab him and take him inside and burn him. His mother says that he considered this guy... He considered these guys his friends, but they would make fun of him and pick on him and tease him. He was always the brunt of the jokes. So if any of you attended a government school, as did I, you know this kid. You know someone exactly like this kid. The kid who's a little slow, he doesn't speak clearly, and he becomes victimized on a daily basis at school. Anyway, it's shameful that his parents would feed him into this system. The Kerrville Independent School. This is Kerrville, Texas. Kerrville. It's a little town northwest of San Antonio. The Kerrville Independent School District has issued a statement hoping for a speedy recovery for the boy and pointing out that this did not happen on school grounds. Thank you very much. Wash their hands of that affair. Anyway, it's just sad to me that even if your kid is perfectly normal and average or even above average in intelligence and elocution and all of that, to feed them into the government school is to put them in danger of losing their soul. And certainly losing their opportunity at a decent education. But to take a kid like this and to force him into an institution that is designed to destroy him, children who are being raised to believe that they all evolved from nothing and they're all going to nothing and nothing really matters, that the idea that there's a creator God is some kind of joke that's to be chuckled at by the administration and the teachers. It's just sad. I feel so bad for this kid. I knew this kid when I was in school, and I admit sometimes I took part in making fun of that kid. It's a shameful part of my past that I'm ashamed of, and I repent of, and I'm very sorry for. All right. Now, let's move from that into the justice file, where Judge Roy Moore has been suspended. He's been suspended from his position by the Court of the Judiciary. They've suspended him for the rest of his term. And he calls it, quote, I love this. I love Roy Moore. Roy Moore calls it a politically motivated effort by radical homosexual and transgender groups because of my outspoken opposition to their immoral agenda. How about that? Not to put too fine a point on it. You know, America, if you wanted a man who speaks the truth, instead of falling into the hands of a charlatan like Donald Trump, you could have turned to Roy Moore. Roy Moore has been available. He speaks the truth, too. He's very frank and blunt. But here we are with Trump and the lesbian there. I'm going to get one of those. That's just incredible. Let's see. The Judicial Inquiry Commission in the case of Judge Moore argued that when Moore told officials not to issue marriage licenses to perverts, they said that made him not a neutral jurist, and that offended them. God knows we need men who refuse to be neutral in the face of evil. That's what we need. You don't want a neutral jurist. That was the guys who got tried at Nuremberg. They were just administering it. Good, right, wrong, evil. Well, who are we to judge? Well, you're judges, for crying out loud. But the lesbians and the queers in Alabama, in the government of Alabama and the universities, have all set their face against Judge Roy Moore because he is not simply going limp and going along with it. He's not neutral. And I think he made that pretty clear when he called them homosexuals and transgendered with an immoral agenda. Definitely qualifies as not neutral. So the AP reports that a passionate crowd rallied around Moore during his hearing last Wednesday when he was suspended. But they say the group was smaller, much smaller than the masses that huddled with him during his Ten Commandments stand. You all remember when he stood up and said, "You will not remove the Ten Commandments from the courthouse." So the group is getting smaller. The fight is long and arduous, and it's difficult for people to carry on a war for an extended period of time. And this culture war that started, I don't know, some 50 years ago, in earnest, I should say, in full naked ambition against godliness and morality, about 50 years ago. That's a long time to fight a war. And just by attrition, our side is being worn down. And fewer showed up to support Moore as he was under assault by the homosexuals than did when he was under the assault of the atheists. And we can only expect our army to grow smaller, at least in a worldly sense. It will only grow smaller. But, well, that's another reason to get your kids out of the government school. If you want them to have any part in restoring whatever can be salvaged of this great nation, you don't want them brainwashed by the lesbians, the perverts, and the child molesters in the government schools who hate Judge Roy Moore and other people like him. What's next for Judge Roy Moore? He says he doesn't know. He doesn't know what's going to happen because the knives are out for him. And it could be that his days on the bench are over. And more than likely it is, and that's a sad commentary on the state of Mississippi, or I'm sorry, the state of Alabama, which is considered the buckle of the Bible Belt. And even down there, the homosexuals have run amok and are driving the normal people into the shadows and into the closet as they march down the street, stripping each other naked and pouring champagne all over each other. And then this is why George Washington crossed the Delaware, so that they could put on chaps and just get out of here with that. All right, now, let's go now from there to the tough religion file. Yes, the tough religion. Apparently, WorldNet Daily reports that the Chinese government is setting up what Chinese Christians are beginning to call a religious winter. Yes, they have newly revised regulations on religious affairs in China. And the party, the Communist Party, wants to take charge of religion, and they make no bones about the fact that they want to wipe out home churches. They want to eliminate the Catholic Church and any influence it might have in China. And even the state churches that are approved by the Chinese government are under assault with these new regulations that are designed to eliminate the Christian religion from China. But the Chinese Christians are growing daily. The religious regulations drafted by the State Council of the People's Republic of China, they aim to suppress all unofficial religious activities via dispersing Christian house churches, silencing Tibetan and Xinjiang separatists, and undermining the Vatican's influence. The party, the council there, the religious council, will adopt these rules probably as early as October. Well, I'll tell you what. Despots and tyrants have tried for five millennia to institute a religious winter. They've been going at this since the time of Nimrod, okay? And they're all dead. Every one of them that tried to stomp out God's name and religion, are they're all dead. And our God lives. He is alive. So, and in China, under the oppression, the ranks of his followers swells daily. The more pressure the Chinese government puts on Christian leaders in China, the harder they seem to dig in their heels, the deeper they go underground, the darker they hide, and the more they preach the word. And so they will, by the way, the Christians will have the ultimate victory in China. They will. It may not be a temporal victory that we can recognize, but the Chinese Christians are the ones who will win the day when history is written and the long view of history is observed. Now, let's bring it on back to Denver. Yes, the City Park neighborhood in Denver is an affluent, up-and-coming neighborhood that everybody wants to live in. Every yuppie who brings their bike out to Denver on the back of their Subaru to move out here, they want to live in City Park. But a young couple there is reported by CBS here in town. They've put their home up for sale, saying that problems with the homeless are driving them out of the city. They said, "We do not want to live here any longer." Yeah. CBS reports that there's a growing chorus of Denver residents saying that homeless issues have encroached into formerly decent neighborhoods, and people want out now. They're leaving. One Denver police officer says 60 to 80% of his calls, service calls, are from residents dealing with homeless people causing problems, doing all kinds of, well, I don't want to get into what happened right here, but it's kind of gross what this lady saw. It's very unfortunate. The problems, though, while I can't describe them specifically, they involve needles and feces and used condoms, patio furniture, garbage bags. One resident says, "This is absurd. It's absurd that this is happening. I feel unsafe," says another. "I've never felt this uncomfortable," says another. "I feel endangered. There didn't used to be a problem," says another Denver resident. I feel unease," said one woman. And what strikes me as ironic about this is most of these residents in Denver are the very people who have tolerated what has led to the homeless problem in Denver. They all got their stash of weed and they're all happy that they can go down to the pot shop. But what they didn't realize was that every low-life loser on the planet is now drawn like a magnet to Denver, and even to their nice house in City Park. Yeah. So take that. Put your bike back on your Subaru and get the hell out of here. And take the homeless with you. All right, that's it. That's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and American Right to Life. And my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview studio, should the Lord tarry. We will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.